This is Going Negative, a podcast about solving climate change through carbon dioxide removal.
Welcome to Going Negative. I'm Tom Green, and today I am joined by Daniel Egger from Climeworks. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Hi, Tom. Nice to be here.
Yeah, lovely to have you on the show. So Daniel's joining us, as I said, from Climeworks, which is a direct air capture company. But before we get into all the details of Climeworks and how it works and how they're helping to solve climate change, Daniel, I'd just love to hear a little bit from you about sort of your background. How did you get into the world of climate action?
Well, by training, I'm an engineer, and I'm interested in technology overall. And on the other side, I'm also living in Switzerland, and you may know that Switzerland is suffering quite a bit under climate change. The warming in Switzerland is twice as much as in average, and we already can see the first consequences: glacier melting, also forest dying. And so the topic is quite actual for us. And I was reading about this great story in the newspaper a couple of years ago, that there's a company in Switzerland taking carbon out of the air with machines. And I wanted to be part of it. As an engineer, I mean, you love technical solutions. You have a technical solution for such a big problem. And I just wanted to be a part of that story. And that's why I'm at Climeworks.
Got it. Yeah, and I mean, personally, having spent some time in Switzerland myself, I remember, like, so I grew up going to Switzerland and going skiing there. And I, you know, if you go to the same place for a decade or two, then you can really see the reduction in the amount of snow and the glaciers melting and all that kind of thing. Sounds like that's something that you've experienced firsthand.
Absolutely, and also the hot and dry weather we are not used to have in during summertime. I mean, this is really giving challenges to our nature, and there's a lot changing, and you can really see that, and you would like to do something about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And could you give an example? You know, where have you seen that personally?
I grew up in the mountains, and there, when I was young, I was mountain biking a lot there, being in the forest. And when I go back to the places, then I can see how much it changed. Forests are turning brown because trees are dying. But also when you go further up in the mountains, you can see the glaciers not being there anymore. So it's it's there, it's obvious. You can see it all the time.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, definitely definitely motivation for us all to do something about it. So let's turn to that. So Climeworks, tell me about Climeworks. What do you guys do?
I mean, we're a bunch of engineers, and what we are doing is that we're building machines which are capturing carbon dioxide out of the air. So we're basically building large boxes, and inside these boxes we have a filter, and this filter material is exclusively capturing carbon dioxide out of the air, and we can release this carbon dioxide again out of the filter material, and then we can reuse it. We can reuse it as raw material to, for example, fertilize greenhouses. We can also carbonate beverages. We can produce fuel out of that. But also, we can store it underground. And by doing that, we can reduce the CO2 content in the atmosphere. And that's what we do. And these machines we have in Switzerland. We have in Iceland, Germany. So basically all over Europe. And they're here functioning well. And we are now on scaling up the technology to get a bigger impact.
That's great. So the and I know that there's kind of a fan, right, that kind of sucks the air in, and that goes, so it goes through a filter, and then the filter captures the carbon dioxide, which you then take the carbon out of the filter and then reuse the filter. Is that right?
That's correct. These filters we can use many, many times. We can release the carbon dioxide out of the filter by heating it up. And when the CO2, the carbon dioxide, is released from the filter, we basically start again. So it is a cyclic process. We can repeat many, many thousand times. And with each cycle, we can take out a part of the carbon dioxide from the air, and then we can provide it in a highly concentrated form for a further procedure.
Got it. So when it comes out of the filter, what form does it come out of? Is it come out of the filter, and is it as carbon dioxide gas, or is it in some kind of substrate? How does it come out of the filter?
It's a pure gas, so it's a gas at around 20 degrees and ambient pressure. And then, depending what you need to do or what you want to do out with the gas, you liquefy it, you compress it, or you directly process it. It is very, very pure. So we reach around 98, 99% purity of CO2. So we can directly use that for many other process as a raw material.
Great. And you said you've got plants now in various countries in Europe, and you're scaling up right now. So what kind of scale are you at today? How much carbon dioxide are you capturing, let's say, on an annual basis?
We are in the range of a few thousand tons a year. So our smallest plants, they're just capturing a couple of kilos a day. Our largest plant is capturing around 1,000 tons per year. And we're just now scaling this up to a couple of thousand tons per year and making the plants bigger. So our plants are very modular, and we can basically make it bigger by adding additional filter boxes, filter modules. These modules we're calling CO2 collector. And by adding more CO2 collectors, we can make the plants bigger and also increase the capacity.
Got it. Okay, so something in the region of sort of 1,000, couple thousand tons a year at the moment. How big can this get? I mean, of course, to sort of make a significant dent in the problem of climate change, we need to be capturing, millions of tons. What's your vision here? How big can Climeworks get?
The plants can be very, very big. It is there we're talking about hundred thousands or even millions of tons per year by one single plant. So our vision is to really be climate relevant, to scale it up to a level where we can remove billions of tons of carbon dioxide off the air. But we also would like to inspire people. So our vision is to inspire 1 billion people to remove carbon out of the air. And this is the other thing. I mean, one thing is the technology. We need to build bigger machines, but we also need to inspire more people to follow us. I mean, us, but also, for example, your project, that people, more and more people, start to remove carbon out of the air. And that's our vision. We would like to inspire people to do so.
Love that. So if you can, when you talk about inspiring, 1 billion people to remove carbon dioxide out of the air, how are they going to do it? Do you mean they're going to buy Climeworks subscriptions to do that? Is that sort of what you're thinking?
This is one way. I mean, everyone can buy a Climeworks subscription already today on our web shop. But it's not only that. I mean, they should do different things. I mean, they should also invest in your project. They should invest in other projects removing carbon dioxide from the air. They should buy products which are carbon neutral. They should buy products which are removing carbon from the air. So we would like that people are acting in a way that they think about the carbon footprint of their behavior and they do something about that. And this is what we mean by inspiring. So we would like to have this topic bigger. Of course, we would also love as Climeworks to be a part of that. But we would like to be part of a movement of carbon removal where people use different technologies. We do not believe that there is a silver bullet. We believe that we need to have different technologies, and we need to have people and also big organizations which are supporting us to scale up. And that's what we would like to see.
Got it, got it. That sounds like a wonderful vision, and so, certainly this is a problem with scale that we really need coordinated global action. So it makes a ton of sense. Other than buying Climeworks subscriptions, what do you think are the main what are the most important things that we can all do?
I mean, when we see where we need to go to reach the climate targets, then we need to be net zero by mid of this century. This is about 30 years from now, and we need to be carbon negative in the second half of this century. And what we need to do in the first step is we need to reduce our emissions. Without that, we will never reach that. I mean, carbon removal should not be scaled to such an extent that we can just do business as usual. We need to reduce our emissions. And then in the second step, we will have industries, we will have technologies which we cannot decarbonize. And those industry, we need to see that we can form a closed carbon cycle, meaning that we can recycle the carbon emissions, the carbon dioxide emissions they have, and we can make products out of that. Be it renewable fuels, be it renewable materials, so that the consumption they have will be carbon neutral. And then in the third step, if all this is still not possible, we need to remove carbon out of the air. And we believe that everything is necessary. So it's not just one thing we need to do. We need to do all of that. And like Project West, I mean, you're a part of the carbon removal community, and we also need to start to scale up the carbon removals already today, because we know that we will need that by mid of this century, and the scale up is so big, it is important that we start now.
Right. Makes sense. And speaking of starting down now, you mentioned there are these, so anyone can go onto your website and buy a subscription to remove carbon dioxide from the air through Climeworks. How many people have done that so far?
I mean, we have a couple of thousand people having a subscription already today. We would like to have more of them. So we will also improve our website, our web shop, so that we can inspire even more people. And this is a good way we see that people can participate, they can support the mission, and this is what we really appreciate, that already so many people are doing that.
That's great. That's great. So let's talk a little bit about the cost of direct air capture, because that's a it's a common criticism of those who comment on or on this technology, that it's great to be able to remove carbon dioxide from the air, but it's still very expensive. And so I'd love to hear, from you a little bit about the cost. How much does it cost today? How much do you think you can reduce the cost over time to get it to be something that's more economical?
Today we are on the cost level something between 600 and $800 a ton, with first prototype machines. These prototype machines are handmade in the city center of Zurich, so you can imagine you cannot find a more expensive place to build machines than where we are. So only by that, I mean the cost optimization potential is quite immense. What we believe in the first step, what we need to do is we need to reduce technology costs. We still are using a very young technology, and we need to improve the technology that the costs are getting down. The second thing we need to do is that we need to build bigger machines, so that we can benefit from scaling of the components. And then in a third step, we need to go into mass production so that we can also benefit from scaling up the manufacturing of our plants. And by doing that, we are convinced that we can reach a cost level something between $100 and $200 a ton by end of this decade, in about 10 years from now. This seems to be a lot. If you just imagine that we reduce it from $600 to $800 to $100 or $200 in about 10 years' time from today. But if you compare this learning curve to other industries, then you're rather conservative. And this also is what we recognized. I mean, we as Swiss, we are rather conservative people. We do not like to promise too much. And this is also why we're convinced that we can end up there. It's a technology, and technologies normally they're getting cheaper by further developments.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, being Swiss, I'm sure everything's going to run on time.
Not everything, but at least we try to do so, yes.
So if you can get costs down to somewhere in the $100 to $200 a ton, then what will be the who's going to pay for all of this, do you think? I mean, is this all sort of private citizens doing subscriptions? You increase that couple thousand number to millions of people, or how are you thinking about ultimately who's going to pay for this?
And we believe that you really can scale it up to a scale where we need it to be climate relevant. We need regulations in place. And without that, it will always be a minority paying for the emissions they are having. And if you really want the mass, the population paying for the emissions, then we need to have regulations. And this is also what we see in Switzerland, in Europe, but also in the parts of US, that such regulations are in preparation or already in place, where we have a carbon price in the range of $100 or $200 a ton. And we need to see that we have a global price on carbon on this level. And then we believe that we can really scale it up. Until we have a carbon price, there will be corporates willing to support, willing to do their best to reduce their emissions. But we do not believe that the big mass will support and pay for their emissions.
Right, and of course, one example of a corporate is the U.S. payments company Stripe, which did a purchase of negative emissions from Climeworks.
Exactly. And today we need pioneers like Stripe, which are showing that we need to do something about that, and also showing how you can buy carbon removals. I mean, this is a product people do not know how to handle it, and this is why we really appreciate that Stripe did this step. And what we also appreciate is the selection of the companies they did. I mean, we have your project with enhanced weathering. We have CarbonCure, and so on. So we have different technologies, and this also shows that there are different ways to do so. And we also see that corporates like Stripe, they're willing to support to take their bit, and that's exactly what we need today.
Yeah, and what's been the impact of the Stripe purchase on Climeworks?
I mean, on one side, definitely. I mean, as a young company, every sale is important. And on the other hand, it's definitely the signal they're giving to the economy that their companies willing to pay for that, also higher prices, so that they're not looking for a business case in the first step, that they're taking the responsibility. And I think this signal is really important from pioneers that there's somebody out there making the first step and motivating others to follow. And this is also what we see. I mean, we just need to read the newspapers. Microsoft came out with a pledge. Amazon came out of pledge. So a lot of big corporates pledged to become carbon neutral or net zero, and they're investing money. And this is exactly what we need today. And I think Stripe really made a powerful step as the first one making such a pledge for net zero.
Yeah, it's great to see so much corporate leadership from the companies that you mentioned and others as well on this issue. Do you feel that governments are lagging behind companies in their commitment to taking action on climate change?
In a way, yes. In another way, no. I mean, a company, they can make a decision, and they make the decision basically for themselves. If a government changes the regulations, they also need to have some certainty that the decision they're making is not is right, can be done, is feasible, is implementable. And for this, they need more proof than a big company. And from this perspective, I understand that they want to see figures, they want to learn more. And I think it's also the responsibilities from companies like us to provide these figures so that modelists can build up their models and also build up a regulation which is strong, which is durable, and which is also really supportive. And I think the discussions which are going on in US, or at least in certain part of the US, in Europe, are going into this direction, and this is very motivating and positive. And I think we will see even more stronger signals in the next couple of years. And I'm convinced it's going into the right direction. But these are definitely not easy decisions to take.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate your optimism. Would love to. You mentioned sort of some of the modeling, so I know that some of the questions people often have about carbon capture technologies, other than the cost, is also about the carbon emissions in the process. Can you talk a little bit about that in reference to Climeworks' process? So, how much CO2 do you have to emit in order to capture? In order to capture what you're capturing.
Carbon emissions for our process is a very big topic. It is a big topic because we would like to remove more carbon than we emit, and that's also why we take this very, very seriously. We are performing life cycle assessments, some cradle to grave life cycle assessments, meaning that we consider the construction of the plant, the operations of the plant, and also the recycling, dismantling and recycling of the plant. And taking all this into account, we have a carbon footprint for the time being of around 10%. So what does this mean? If we take 1 ton out of the atmosphere, 1 ton of carbon dioxide, over the entire life cycle, we re-emit 100 kilograms back. And
Got it.
The good thing on a machine is you can measure it. You can measure every molecule you're capturing. And this is also when we're selling 1 ton of carbon dioxide removal, we're basically capturing 1.1 ton. So we are always talking about net removals where we already deduct the lifetime emissions of our plants.
Got it. Makes sense. So in this kind of process where you are, manufacturing and building a plant, and then over time that plant removes carbon dioxide, there's presumably a sort of carbon payback period. So, initially you're actually emitting to build the thing, and then it's removing carbon dioxide from the air. So, what is that payback period? How long from the inception of a project until you have taken carbon dioxide out of the air on a net basis?
So today we are calculating with a lifetime of our plant of about 10 years. So not that long for a machine, but I mean, we're building the first machines today. And here we're talking about a payback period of about a year. So after 1 year, every kilogram we're taking out of the air is really removed from the air. including all other emissions, also operational emissions.
Got it, got it. Okay, well that's pretty solid. You build a plant today, emit some carbon dioxide, and then, after a year you've removed, and then after that it's all removal.
Exactly. And we believe that we can go down feed furthermore. So our target is a low 1-digit percentage. So we believe that we can be somewhere around 4% in the next couple of years. Also there we need to improve.
Yeah, I mean it's just the whole process of continuous improvement, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, fantastic. Sounds great. So, what's next for Climeworks? So you mentioned that you're looking to build some larger plants. Is there a particular location that you're focusing on for your next big plant?
So for the time being, it's we're staying in Europe. So our next plant will be in Iceland, our next bigger plant. And
And
this
is
year
that
also, yeah.
is that powered by renewable energy? Because I know Iceland has a lot of geothermal energy there.
Absolutely. All our plants are powered by renewable energy. So to power a direct air capture plant by fossils definitely does not make sense. So this is a prerequisite. We only build plants which are powered by renewable energy.
Got it, got it. Good to know. Good to know. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for sharing all this interesting information about Climeworks. Really, really appreciate it. And thank you for all the important work you're doing to not only help reverse climate change by taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere, but also inspire people to help out with that. So yeah, thank you for all that work, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks to you, Tom. It was great talking to you and also with your project. Good luck and hope to see more in the future.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening to Going Negative, a podcast about solving climate change through carbon dioxide removal. If you enjoyed it, please share it with your friends. We hope you'll join us next time. Until then, take care.